I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the reading. I want you to think about this text. There's so much about Solomon that many people don't know. And I'm going to give you a look at this young king. Here's what we know about him. He was the second son of David and Bathsheba. Yedidiah, friend of God, is the name that Nathan the prophet gave to King Solomon when he was born. King Solomon was the third king of Israel. He built the first temple in Jerusalem. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 mistresses. Our sages claim his marriage to Pharaoh's daughter was the cause of the destruction of the second temple. He also had three children, Rehoboam, Bashemoth, and Tephah. He was blessed by God with unique wisdom and was the wisest man that ever lived. And Solomon wrote three books of the Bible, the Song of Songs, the Book of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Our sages glorify King Solomon for his wisdom and great knowledge, but also mention that according to the law, he committed three sins against God. He married foreign women, had many horses, and owned lots of gold. The length of Solomon's reign in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Now I want you to think about this. According to the Bible, Solomon died of natural causes at around 80 years of age. What that means is he took the throne when he was 39 or 40. And he said, "I'm so young." So there is hope, folks, if you're 39 or 40. He was very young and he became king. So we may debate the wisdom of Solomon for eternity. But we will always be held in high. He will also always be held in high esteem as very wise. As for the foreign women he married against God's wishes, we are told Solomon did this to solidify deals with foreign powers, not unlike today. It is through marriage that he sealed the deal, so to speak, with those whom he made peace. Clearly, in Solomon's eyes, if he had not married these women, peace would have been in jeopardy. 700 wives, 300 mistresses does seem a bit excessive, and certainly puts Solomon's wisdom in question. But he reigned for 40 years, which, by the way, is the same amount of time that David reigned. So he had the same length of rule as his father. Now that we know some facts about Solomon, what is the definition of wisdom? Many of us, we hear the word wisdom, but what does that mean? Let's just go by a dictionary's explanation of this. The quality or state of being wise, knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, discernment or insight. Another way to define this word is the ability to look at situations from all angles. That's an interesting thing. How many of us can do that? Look at things from all angles and discern a right action. I like that definition because I believe when it comes to the actions of God, it is important for us to look at things from all angles. When God gave Solomon wisdom, he did, in fact, give Solomon the ability to look at things from all angles. And perhaps this is why God never punished Solomon for all the wives and mistresses or all the horses or all the gold that Solomon had. After all, if God gave Solomon wisdom and Solomon chose to do these things against God's rule, then Solomon must have used great wisdom in breaking the rules. Wisdom, that was God's gift. Two questions. Have you prayed for wisdom in your lifetime? Whether you have or not, do you believe you look at situations from all angles before making a decision, especially when it comes to God? A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had to work. He had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of the cabin. The Lord explained to the man that he was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did. Day after day, for many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. The man was becoming discouraged, so he began to think in his weary mind, "You have been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it." Let us keep in mind, experience comes from what we have done. So think about this. You're never going to move it. Well, this gave the man the impression the task was impossible, and he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. "Why kill myself over this?" he thought. "I know. I'll just put in my time, given the minimum effort, and that will be good enough." And that is what he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" The Lord responded, "My child, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back sinewy and brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure. And your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much. And your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my child, will now move the rock. All too often in this world of ours, things happen. And rather than look at all angles as to the why of the event, we decide it must be something we did wrong. Or we blame others. Or we just give up and don't even try to go further in life, and we vegetate. Reading the story of Solomon, we find he faced great adversity, especially when he first ascended to the throne. Yet rather than give up, he prayed for wisdom. And having prayed for and received wisdom, he looked at life from all angles, even how God's rules at that time could affect his kingdom. If we haven't prayed for wisdom, we most definitely should. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Do you remember your high school reunion? Have you ever attended a high school reunion? I did. Won't do it again. But yeah, been there. When you have your high school class reunions, many who attend the 5 and 10 year class reunions just want to impress each other with how successful they have become. By the 20th, many have given up on impressing their friends and are just happy to survive. As you near the age of 40, you can begin to tell the difference between the haves and the have-nots, between those who have arrived and those who got lost along the way. At one such reunion, two high school buddies sat at a table to talk. Many at the reunion could tell the first friend had found the secret to success, while the other was still just a wannabe. The wannabe asked his wealthy friend about the secret to success. "Well, I've asked God to help me make my financial decisions along the way. I'd pray, Lord, show me what to do. Then I would open my Bible and point my finger on the page. The first time I did that, the words were oil, oil. So I invested everything I had in the oil market. Later, I went to God again. When I opened the Bible, I pointed to gold and silver. So I bought into the precious metals market. Most recently, I pointed to the word gates. I wasn't sure what God was trying to show me at first, but I soon realized God was leading me to invest in the computer market. With God's help, I'm nearly as rich as Bill Gates himself now. Later that night, the wannabe was back in his hotel room. He knew he needed help. He had maxed out on all of his credit cards to try and impress all his high school friends, but it wasn't working. He decided if it worked for his friend, maybe it would work for him too. So he opened the nightstand drawer and pulled out a Gideon's Bible. He sat on the bed and prayed, "Lord, I need your help. Please show me what to do." He opened the Bible and pointed at the words, chapter 11. We can find wisdom for living right. We can find wisdom for right living from God's word. But it isn't just hit or miss. whatever situation you may be confronted with, whenever you just cannot find an answer to the problems of life, try looking at it from all angles. When I got the call last night around 8 o'clock that my friend had passed away, I started looking from all angles. Why? He was just sitting in the car, and they got hit from behind, and it killed him. And his wife and I see you. Can I just look at that and say, oh my gosh, look what God did. Look what so-and-so did. Looking at it from all angles, I know that death is part of life. It doesn't sound right, but it's true. There is no life without death, no death without life. So if we try looking from all angles, then consider how God is working within that situation. We will find that God is always working in all of life's happenings. So I would ask this day, if you're in a situation that you don't really understand and you're looking for others to blame, or if you're down on yourself and blaming yourself and thinking you're a failure, think of the big picture. Where does God come into this? Because He is. There isn't anything in this world that goes on that God is not in the midst of. God is there. So let us pray for wisdom so that we may understand what it is about this life that makes it so wonderful that we even had time on earth. I give thanks to God for my friend Waylon. I give thanks that I had 20 years of having a friend and spending time with him. And that's going to be my prayer. My prayer of thanks for the opportunity to share in this life. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, we know there is so much in this world that goes on that we do not understand, and sometimes we become fearful. We hear things on the radio or on TV, and it works on our hearts and our minds as we try to understand. May we have wisdom to see things in such a way that we know you are in the midst of it, and that we are your children, and you will never let us down. Be with us and guide us, help us as we go through this week and throughout this life to turn to you in all situations, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.